Hi, I'm Ryan Kelly. Mortgage interest rates have dropped. We're currently locking loans in the low threes and even down in the twos. If you've been sitting on the fence, it's time to make your move. Let's get you locked in now before it's too late. Apply online at thehomeloanexpert.com. The Home Loan Expert LLC.
Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now, back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on CBS Sports, 105.7 HD2 FM, 920 AM, and InsideSTL.com.
Wow, wow, wow. This song always signifies that the weekend is about to get started, but it's a little more significant this time because tomorrow we'll have the Bud Light presentation of the Inside STL Wiffle Ball Tournament.
What are you wearing, Tim?
I always wear all black.
Oh, that's right. The Gary Player look of wiffle ball.
Yep. And I might wear my green Cardinal cap. That's a big surprise. It's a big reveal.
Yeah.
There are only certain caps that fit my lopsided head properly.
Well, I think if you would announce it now, some of your lemmings will want to be dressed just like you because that is what will be cool.
So all black everything and then a green Cardinal cap?
Yeah.
But mine's been around since 2004, and it's chewed up real nice like.
How did the hat get chewed up? You're not putting it away properly?
If you've just had it for 12 years, it's naturally going to age like a graying shrub.
Okay, so I brought it up.
Speaking of shrubs, Tease Farm, the official shrub sponsor of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. They also have things that can kill Adam's ants.
Yeah, he acted like no one's ever had ants in his house before. Gee, I wouldn't know what to do about that. Boy, there's a tough one to deal with.
It's Tease Farm, the official sponsor of the 9 o'clock hour. Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, Douglas Elvin Vaughn with you. This is the Ryan Kelly Morning After. It is CBS Sports, 105.7 HD2 FM, 920 AM, InsideSTL.com. And joining us right now on the appliance discount phone lines, the former Mariner, second baseman, three-time All-Star, plus the author of Home Game, Big League Stories from My Life in Baseball's First Family. Ladies and gentlemen, we welcome to the program Brett Boone. Brett, good morning.
How you doing?
Good. Thank you for joining us this morning. Where are you these days? You on the West Coast, East Coast, or West?
Well, I live in San Diego, but right now we're at the Junior Olympic tournament for my 17-year-old son. So we're in Arizona.
Ah, sweet. Is he a ball player as well?
He's a ball player,
and I guess he's pretty darn good if he's playing in the Junior Olympics.
He's a good player. He's a good player. His team. It's a fun team to watch. They're 7-0. So we got the finals today at 10 o'clock.
Yeah, very nice. Well, it runs in the family, hence the title of the book, Big League Stories from My Life in Baseball's First Family. The name of the game is, the name of the book is Home Game. Why did you decide to write this book, Brett?
Well, it's funny. I mean, if you'd asked me 10 years ago, would you write a book? I'd say, heck no, I'll never write a book. bottom line is, Random House made me an offer I couldn't refuse, to be honest with you. But, I was pretty pessimistic going into the process. But as we got through it and just being able to reminisce and go over my life and my experiences and how fortunate I was growing up in the family I was in and got to see the things that, you know, not too many people get to do. I started thinking that it was a pretty cool thing, and just to be able to tell my story and tell this, you know, the stories of growing up with Grandpa and talking about, you know, basically a couple of early 40s to current. So I think it's pretty cool, and getting to basically tell my story.
One of the biggest revelations in the book is that alcoholism played a part in your retirement from baseball. How did that all come about?
Oh, without a doubt it did. It's just something that kind of slowly snuck up on me. And, you know, it got to a point where it kind of ripped the passion out of you. You know, I still fight it today on a daily basis. It's something that, you know, it's a disease and I have it. And, you know, I'm well aware of it. And, you know, it's something that the reason I put that in the book is, you know, maybe one day, somewhere, somehow, I can help another guy so he doesn't have to go down the road I went down. But you know, it can be pretty dark, and like I said, I still fight it on a daily basis.
So was that something that came along as you became a bona fide major league star, or was that something you battled before that?
No, this is something that came on later in life. For me, in my 20s, it was never an issue. In my early 30s, I think you make a good point. I think as you became, the more success came a little more abuse. I think it came hand in hand. I mean, as it's a progressive disease, and like I said, in my 20s, it was never an issue for me. But in my early 30s and headed towards retirement, it definitely became an issue. And I think the more success you have, it kind of goes along with it.
Yeah, I would think that baseball lifestyle where you're on the road a lot and you're playing games and you're done at the 11 o'clock at night and what do we do now, and you're with the other bunch of young
exactly.
single guys ready to roll, I would think it would take a lot of discipline to stay on the straight and narrow path.
Well, I think if you're predisposed for it, you know, my grandfather went down that path, and I remember when I was in my 20s and looking at me and just saying, hey, be careful with that beer. I'd look at him and I'd say, what are you talking about, Grandpa? I'm not like you. And turns out I was just like him. So, and years later, I don't know. I think if you're predisposed for it and you know, you live that kind of life, it's definitely going to come out. But, you know, I don't think everybody is. I mean, you know, it's not like you're born. Some people are born and they're just normal people. You know, look at my mom and my dad. I mean, they're normal people. They go out and they have a glass of wine and they go home and they go to sleep. Where there's certain of us, my youngest brother, Matthew, he's been sober for 10 years. And, you know, I couldn't be prouder of him. And I've just fought this thing for probably about 8 or 9 years now. And, you know, I haven't been perfect, but, I've had my share of relapses and stuff like that, but like I said, it's one day at a time, and I know it's a cliche, but it's definitely the truth.
You were a big part of that Mariners team in 2001 that won 116 games. How do you think that team should be remembered?
Wow, what a year it was. You know, looking back on it, it was such a special year, and when we took the field that year, it just seemed like the other team would look at us and they knew they were going to lose. You know, I still look back and I can't believe we didn't win the whole thing, you know, and it's like, how did we not win that year? It was a magical year. The only excuse I can come up with is probably for the last month and a half. You know, there's the normal press that covers you on a daily basis. Your local news, and there's probably 6 or 7 guys that are there on a daily basis. So the last month or six weeks of that season, we had like a postseason press. So there was 30 or 40 people saying, are you going to break the record? Are you going to break the record? You know, and every night I have to answer those questions. We don't know. We'll see you in a month. And then the night we did it, it was almost like we won the World Series. Like, it's finally over. You know, we won 116, and, oh, wait a minute, now we have to go play the postseason. You know, and 9/11 was a big part of that year. That, you know, baseball stopped for about a week. That's no excuse.
I think we lost you briefly, Brett. Are you there? We lost Brett.
Oh, there he is.
Hello. The signal dropped just real briefly on your call. When you guys lost, you lost in 5 to the Yankees.
Right.
And, of course, that is under the umbrella of the time period of September 11th. And so that was a motivated marketplace, understandably so, with that taking place just a month and a half before you guys played. They also had the big comeback against the Oakland A's, the famous Jeter play. And that, I would imagine, as you made reference to, when you win that many games to go out in the postseason before getting to the very least the World Series, has to be a very difficult thing. Take us back to the night at Yankee Stadium, if you could. You guys are down 3-1. You're trying to get the series back to Seattle, and the Yankees just, from your perspective, unfortunately, just ran over it and made sure that the thing didn't go back to Seattle.
Yeah, I think, looking back to that series, neither one of us played really well. The Yankees just played less bad than we did. But it's an interesting place, and I played a lot of big series at Yankee Stadium, and as 2 years later, when my brother was in the postseason and, he hit the home run, he said that he was sitting around and Jeter just said to him, just wait, the ghost will show up. And I truly believe it. I mean, I've had some weird things happen at that stadium, but it just wasn't meant to be. And it was a wonderful year. It was an awesome year. Probably we'll never see it again in our lifetime. 116 wins. And the one thing we can hang on to is we're the best regular season team of all time. But we didn't close the deal.
Yeah, well, you know what? There's a team that about 5 days ago can share that emotion in the NBA. And so some people then wonder, does pushing hard at the end of a regular season, the New England Patriots in 2007, had the same thing as they were making the push to go undefeated throughout the course of the first time since the 72 Dolphins. Does that wear on a team? I know you can't speak to the NBA or the NFL, but do you think that wears on these teams? And did that play a role? Because the Warriors did look different in the playoffs than they did in the regular season.
Right, and they're probably shaking their heads right now, like, this is a perfect season. How do we end this way? Yeah, I think there's something to be said for that. It's so, a foregone conclusion that, of course, with the season you're going through, of course you're going to win it all. We didn't even have to think about it. And then all of a sudden we wake up, Yankees beat us. So, yeah, I definitely think there's some credibility to your argument. When you push that hard and you have that successful of a regular season, stuff like just happened to the Warriors, that can happen.
You said there were some weird things that happened to Yankee Stadium. I don't know. I was kind of intrigued by that. Can you share?
Oh, Aaron. No, Aaron said it. Jeter said it to Aaron in the dugout before he hit the home run. Like, just don't worry about it. The ghosts will show up. But I've seen some weird things happen. I mean, I was there, and we were there with the Braves in 1999. I was in the World Series against the Yankees, and they beat us. But it's like we had games in hand, and all of a sudden there would be like a weird wind would kick up. And then, Bernie Williams hit a ball, a pop-up to right field. Next thing I know, it's 15 rows deep. And I'm going, what is going on here?
It's Babe Ruth blew the ball out there.
I think that's what it was.
Oh, yeah. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. What a great place it is. But, yeah, I believe there are ghosts, or there were ghosts. Now, that stadium is done and they're playing in the new one. I never got to play in the new one, but it's an amazing New York is an amazing place.
Brett Boone, our guest right now, the former Mariners second baseman, Cardinals taking on the Mariners, team they don't see all that often tonight in Seattle, first game of a 3-game series. He is the author of Home Game, Big League Stories from My Life and Baseball's First Family. You address the rumors of steroid use that are attached to you in the book. And you've addressed it to reporters in person. Those questions likely won't go away. People are texting it into our show right now as we speak. What do you say to those people who are skeptical of your denial?
Yeah, I think, I think that's never going to go away. I think it's just it's part of the time, and there's a lot of great, great players right now that are not in the Hall of Fame because, they're suspected of doing steroids. I don't think anybody can, play God and say, oh, he took him, he didn't, he took him, he didn't, And I addressed Jose Canseco. He put me in his book. And it was kind of nice for me because Matt Lauer did some research. And, Jose said that he hit a double in 2001. And I think he was playing for the Angels. And he said in spring training, we got to second base, and he had this discussion with me. First of all, I've never said anything more to Jose Canseco than "How you doing, Jose?" and him returning with "Hey, Booney, what's up?" That's as far as we've ever talked. But Matt Lauer did an interview with him and said, by the way, Jose, you know, I did my research, and in 2001, you never reached second base against the Mariners. And he kind of fumbled around, and, you know, which kind of got me off the hook without me having to explain myself. So, yes, I deny it. I mean, it wasn't true. I mean, I was a workout fiend. You know, it was my passion. And, you know, there's always going to be that hovering opinion that, yeah, Brett did this, but there's nothing I can really do about it. You know, all I can tell is what I didn't do, and I didn't do steroids.
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine, trying to put myself in your position, if indeed it didn't happen and you worked your ass off to get to the point where you were hitting home runs at the pace you were in what 37 home runs, 141 RBIs, led the league in RBIs, third in the MVP voting.
Well, and what I think a lot is, you know, it was maturity as a player. You know, I went through a lot of different phases in my career. You know, if you look at my bubblegum card, it's not the normal bubblegum card. I mean, I hit 320 one year, and then 2 years later, I hit 223 and hit 330. So I just look at it as, you know, especially the early 2000s, as getting back to Seattle and getting back with Edgar Martinez. He was a huge part of my resurgence and basically taught me how to hit and how to think through the process, not the physical part of hitting, but the mental side and how, you know, how we think about hitting, how we think, you know. He used to call it five deep. So it means if I'm up fifth this inning, I start the process right now. It's, what have I done this series? What have I, you know, who am I facing? Who's in the bullpen? Who's hitting behind me? Who's hitting in front of me? And by the time I leave that on deck circle, I had an approach. And Edgar was, you know, I give him a lot of credit for teaching me how to be a mature big league hitter.
Now, you were in the home run derby a couple of times, including one at home. I think you had three total home runs. Why was that so difficult for you?
It was always hard. You know, I've never been a batting practice guy, especially when they take that cage away. So in 2001, I was asked to be in it. And, of course, you know, you get asked to. It was an honor. And, you know, I saved face, and I hit three homers. And Sammy Sosa, I was up against him that year, and he hit three, but at the All-Star break, he had more home runs than me. So there was no playoff. He went on. He advanced to the next round. It wasn't really a big deal for me. It's like, nope, I did fine. And then I got asked in 2003, and I hit no home runs, and I swung and missed. So it's, I don't know. There's certain guys just have a knack for it and can hit batting practice homers, and some guys just don't, you know. And you see, I remember in 2003, Alex Rodriguez was doing the guest host. So after you finished your round, you went and you talked to him on ESPN, and I looked at him, and, you know, it's an empty feeling when you hit no home runs. And he's looking at me, and I'm going, now I know why you have a suit on in your interview. you don't want any part of this.
And you remain the only third generation, a family with three straight generations of major leaguers. I bet when you guys sit around and talk, do you compare stats and figure out who is the best? Because I think maybe you got them with your three All-Stars and the Gold Glove Awards. I think you're probably the best of the Boones, weren't you?
Oh, by far. No, it's my dad right now. That's for debate. I mean, it's, you know. But, yeah, we definitely had fun with it. Like I said in the book, I tell a lot of stories of sitting around with Grandpa and Dad and Aaron and myself with, you know, my dad, oh, are you kidding me? Nobody has a better slider than Steve Carlton. And, you know, we'll talk about Williams. My grandpa, you know, I got a phone call on I believe it was a Saturday, and said grandpa got rushed to the hospital. So after our Sunday day game, I got on a plane and I flew to San Diego, where he was in the hospital and he couldn't speak. And this is one of the proudest men, not only about his generation, but about his family. He's one of the proudest men I've ever been around. and he couldn't speak, and the only way he could communicate was writing on a chalkboard. So he grabbed a piece of chalk, and he wrote down, he said, "This Jake Peavy guy's got a chance to be a good pitcher." Huh. And this is when Jake was just breaking in the big leagues. And then he wrote, "And yes, Barry Bonds is a better hitter than Ted Williams." Huh. And I remember that time I just broke out in tears. And I just said, well, now I know Grandpa's going to pass away, because he would never say anything like that and stick around.
Wow.
So, there's just a lot of stories like that. And like I said, that's why the book was kind of it went from pessimistic to pretty positive for me, because I got to remember all these stories and retell them, and now, you know, the public gets a little insight to what it's like kind of behind the scenes.
So you have the 17-year-old son. That's why you're in Arizona right now for the Junior Olympics. That would get you to the four generations. Do you think he feels some semblance of pressure, Brett?
You know what? It's funny. A couple of years ago, we were at the same tournament, and Kirk McCaskill, who's a former Angel, took all the kids one day to the Angels game, and they had an off day. And their longtime trainer came up to Jacob, and Jacob is my 17-year-old son now. I said, "You're Bob Boone's son." I said, "Ray Boone's your great grandpa." I said, "Yeah." I said, "Brett's your dad?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "No pressure." So I don't know that he feels it. You know, I try not to put any on him, you know, as my dad did for me. I never felt an ounce of pressure. He was always very supportive in whatever I wanted to do. He never pushed anything on me, and I try to do the same thing for Jacob.
Well, it's an incredible story with the family and all the love of the game and the success in the game and continued success to Jacob and the family. The name of the book, Home Game, Big League Stories from My Life in Baseball's First Family. Brett Boone with us here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Brett, thank you
and
so
you
much
can
for
get
time.
It.
I'm sorry, go
well,
ahead.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for your time. You can get the book at brettbooneBook.com.
Brett Boone.
That tells you where you can get it.
There it is, Doug. BrettBooneBook.com. Brett, thanks
now,
so much.
Now I feel like a billboard.
Hey man, you got to push it. Stuff. You got to pitch it. That's the game.
Thanks,
well, guys. Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you, Brett. Thank you. Brett Boone with us here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After, CBS Sports 105.7 HD2 FM 920 AM inside STL.com. It's another Sea Monster production. Sea Monster emailed me about that earlier this week, and I go, ah. He said we got Ryan Leaf on Thursday, and then Brett Boone on Friday. And then Malcolm Gladwell, he's efforting and close to. Is that done, by the way? It's close? Seamaster, everybody.
Unfortunately, I do not have an update as of
yet. Okay, that's fine. But, I mean, the Seamaster just loves to try and he goes, I mean, he's trying to get Gary Johnson, a Libertarian presidential candidate, on the show.
Oh, nice.
So
that's a long shot, though.
I, of course, I'm aware of that. But that's that's the kind of guy the Seamaster is. Great effing guy. And then he says, I got Brett Boone from him. I'm like, I just don't know if I really want Brett Boone, and I just don't know. But then he's like, I've been working on it for a month. Can you just, and I'm like, of course. Then I got to just, you know.
It was good.
And then it was very good.
I enjoyed that.
I got to yield to the Seamaster. I need to teach myself, Doug, yield to the Seamaster.
Okay. Very candid.
I like the fact that he's a descendant of Daniel Boone. That's quite a family tree they've got going there.
Which coincidentally is named, there's a Boone County. So that's.
Have you been to Daniel Boone's home out in Defiance?
I have not. How
kind
is
of,
it?
Kind of a neat place to visit.
What's going
very
on?
Very cool.
There.
Just one of the houses, one of many I'm sure he lived in.
Do you have a boudoir?
Did not, no.
But
no.
He did have a carport.
Yes, he did.
I don't think he even had a carport. Yeah. He didn't have a car.
Oh, yeah,
but
I
didn't have cars
them,
in the 1700s, early 1800s.
You talk about Daniel Boone, you talk about a guy who created a style of jacket with the
fringe
hanging off it that even the lead singer of the Counting Crows wore as recently as 10 years ago.
They're truly one of the founding fathers of the country.
Well done, Seamaster. Booney was great. Thanks. That comes from Face Teeth. Yeah, I'm taking my medicine, Seamaster. You were right.
It could have been bad if he wasn't upfront about a lot of things.
And I bet there was a lot of stuff he said that we couldn't hear while his phone was dropping out.
Mm-hmm.
I was so close, as you boys saw.
Yeah, you had your finger on the button.
That was my finger was on the trigger, my hand on my nine.
And he would kick back in. The ghost of Yankee Stadium.
That's what it was again. Ghost of Yankee Stadium impacting Arizona.
Must be something to it.
Telling you. It's Tease Farms 9 o'clock hour here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. This weekend, if you're looking to watch the Cardinals and Mariners, the Plow Shark would say, hey, why don't you go to the Post Sports Bar and Grill?
Let me tell you about it, but real quick, let me turn off these fans. That's right,
don't
Tim.
You
the
dare.
Post Sports Bar and Grill, of course, we all know about the famous cheesesteak. And my headphones don't work, so if you do talk, I can't hear you, so let me just get through this.
All right.
We'll get through it together.
Okay.
Every Cardinal game, you have 22-ounce domestic draft specials. Cardinal ticket giveaway every Tuesday and Friday. 20% off your bill when you do show your Cardinal stub at that seg day game. They rolled out their new catered boxed lunch specials, great for parties and businesses. And you can visit them two locations, one on Manchester and Maplewood, and their new location in Creve Court at Olive and Old Ballast. Visit them online at thepostsportsbar.com, and of course, stay posted, my
That's
friend.
The Postmaster General. The Post specifically requests the Plowstar to do
well, why
some
you?
Of their spots.
Yeah.
And they make me T-shirts. I have a nice little T-shirt I'll
well,
wear to the Wiffle
Look
Bat
at
tournament.
That! Just for you.
Just for me, Plowmaster General.
Really?
They have a good cheesesteak there. Really good.
Guys, what came first, the car or the carport? Thanks, that's the Hills Have Thighs.
Carports think, first.
Yeah,
I think because people had the idea that cars were going to be invented.
Yeah, based on the one in my neighborhood, I would say it dates back to the mid-18th century.
Yeah, well, if you didn't have the carport there, you wouldn't park the car under it.
See? Exactly.
You would just have air. If you had the car first, you would just have air.
Did you ever have a Daniel Boone-style jacket, honestly?
My brother had one.
Did he? Yeah.
I didn't have one.
And he's wildly successful in Tulsa.
Well, kind of, yeah.
And Tim, so do you think that's the key?
I don't still wear it. This was like high school, maybe college. This
They're coming back.
Crazy 70s.
They are.
Yeah.
Especially
Were
in
they
July.
Able to fit you in some coon skin boy panties?
Steph Curry wore one to the podium the other night.
What, after he lost?
Daniel Boone jacket.
Hey, boys. We'll be with Fred and Mrs. Fred at Francis Park at the Wiffle Ball Tournament this Saturday. Lesbianism? That comes from Bubbles. Bubbles' girlfriend is the one who engages in lesbianism with Fred from the poor part of the nails' wife. And I guess they're going to trib at Francis Park?
They won't.
That's the 16th ward. I don't know what the policy is in the 16th ward on tribbing.
The way you can remember the connections between listeners.
I have to.
Good.
It's like the Bill Walsh family tree, and everybody's banging each other now.
Well, they seem to be. Well, or they talk about it a lot.
Does this happen on like any Camo X show? Is
no.
there like a.
No, sir.
Who's Bobby with the perm dating?
Doug, is that Uncle Carl's double-sided fleshlight?
I think a West County turkey baster.
And the rat in Bloomsdale's like Will Chamberlain. He's just banging everybody. Well, it's hot. I think it's wonderful.
It really isn't. It isn't. None of it's hot, and almost none of it's true.
Jacob Nieder is hot.
Take everything you read on the fan page and this text line, and about 99% of it simply isn't true.
Disagree.
I'm going to disagree. Plow Shark, how much of it do you think is true? Do you think, for example, that Bubbles' girlfriend is hooking up with Fred from the poor part of the nail's wife?
No, Fred tried to holler at me last night via FaceBat and via text. Message. Sorry about the printer printing off emails right now, if you can hear that in the background. No fan, but a
I can't hear it over the fan.
Yeah, well, that's a deal. Couple jet engines. They wanted me to meet up with said girl and myself, however I was working, so hopefully I get
this was Fred or Bubbles?
I think this is actually Fred. Me and him have a good rapport. So me and him are on a text.
You don't mind getting real cozy with the listeners.
No, I think that's how. That's why I'm. I guess I would say I'm liked by all the listeners because I give everybody a chance.
Hmm.
How about that Plow Shark?
Well, I guess.
Doug, do you give the listeners a chance?
I tried.
What do you mean you tried?
You're saying past tense.
Well,
you said you said hi to one time and that didn't work out well.
I say hi with some of them, but you know others have approached me with some rather bizarre. Things to say.
Like what?
Pictures
give us,
to
give,
show
give
me.
Give us an example.
Well, I keep going back to the Tony the Plow Dow and his naked picture that he carried around with him to one of the events.
Well, he's proud
me.
Of the picture.
Look at that. Yeah, well. There are some oddballs out there among the group.
I'm proud of my stamp collection. I'll show that off sometimes to people.
I don't need to see it. I trust that you got it.
Got some really nice ones.
I don't need to see them necessarily.
Mint condition.
I don't really need to see them. Why don't you use them?
Too valuable.
Okay.
My collection's worth something like $64.
Guys, how do I get in on this TMA listener gangbang? Thanks. That's from the Hills. Have thighs.
Doug, I think that's for you.
Wouldn't be for me.
No. Hey, Tim, change in plans. You don't have to come to the Urge concert. I will wait for you at home plate on Francis Parks Fields to make out like in that movie with Drew Barrymore at Steve and Wildwood. Well, that makes it more convenient for me. And now I can go out with Paul or with the Shrewsbury Seminary student on Saturday nights.
That movie made me sick, by the way.
Never Been Kissed. 1999. Saw it in Columbia, Missouri, sir.
Wait, I thought that was Final Pitch where they were kissing.
No, I think he's thinking of Never Been Kissed. Drew Barrymore has made out on numerous baseball fields in numerous movies, though.
That's true.
Yeah.
All right, sounds like Doug.
And that leads me to the exit poll. Brought to you by Lakeside Roofing.
The people I've spoken to just cannot believe the exit poll.
This is the Lakeside Roofing exit poll.
Just like any other poll, it has its range of error one way and the other.
Family owned for 40 years, LakesideRoofing.com.
If this exit poll is right, I will publicly eat my hat.
Too many press Brits. Conference for Brexit, I believe.
Too many Brits.
So Ryan Kelly, Morning After's exit poll. Doug, it's kind of where we get a gauge on where things are, where we are, where the listeners are.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a way to recap our week and figure out where we are.
Okay.
So we're figuring out where we are. And we say are, like we're a pirate.
Okay, I've got it. I know what the exit poll is.
Now, the Cardinals are 3-3 since we last did the exit poll. Lost 3 against the Rangers. A couple of those were very winnable. You can make the case all of them were very...
Yes,
Spirit wins galore, that's it.
And 2 of the 3 against the Cubs could have gone either way. The win, of course, coincidentally, strangely enough, and the Jake Arrieta start was the one that was the only comfortable victory of the last 6 games for either team. So the over-under question continues... But we really don't have much more information because the team is still 500 since we last asked the question. So I imagine we're all going to still be on our respective points. You gentlemen are still over 87.5. I am still under 87.5. Is that accurate, or Doug, are you?
I'm over.
You're over. I figured that. I'm under. Doug, you are the swing vote.
I'm still over. I think the pitching has really gotten locked in here lately. I think that will improve their record. As we get in the second half of the season, some of these teams that are hopeless, they'll trade away a player or two, they'll shut it down, they'll pick up a lot of wins at the end of the year and be over 80.
How about Matt the Bat's power numbers? I couldn't have been more wrong.
He's over 30 for this.
I mean, he's crushing. I mean, home run in Wrigley. Holy moly cockatoli. I'm on under, but I certainly think the second wild card is in play. Cubs have lost 4 in a row. BTW.
Maybe the pressure starts mounting. Maybe the starting pitching goes south a
maybe
little bit.
Maybe they're going out and having a little taste.
I will
in
say
Miami.
So the other day, I was sharing a ride with Tim McCarver, and the driver picked up another family. So we get in the game after the Arrieta game, get in the car, and we're just talking about the game. And I said, they really did a good job making Arrieta work. And Tim McCarver says, careful what you say. That's Jake's parents. We shared a ride with
really?
Jake here. And they were like, you're right. They did a good job.
From Farmington.
Yeah.
Doug Farmington.
Yeah. Cardinals are one of the only teams that can figure out how to hit Jake Arrieta. They didn't hit him a lot, but then.
But they made the pitch count go up where he wasn't around that long. Yeah. They did a good job.
It's really frustrating now that they couldn't have nailed down a couple of those wins on that last homestand when they were leading in the eighth inning. If they were 6 out right now or 7 instead of 9, I think you would have to say, you know what, the division's not over yet. And maybe it still isn't.
A lot of the season left, Doug.
But just a few games makes a big difference in what it feels like.
The variable of what we're looking at now roster-wise, I think the Cubs are in a different class, but you always – I mean, the same thing with the Cardinals in 2006 – they got a nice break. Pedro Martinez wasn't able to pitch, and look what happens. The Tigers then can't throw the ball to first base on bunts, and things work your favor. So you never know what would wind up happening. But from a talent standpoint, I just think the Cardinals are a second-tier team. One of the things that's really could be favorable to the Cardinals, and we saw it 2 weekends ago in Pittsburgh, is I just don't think the Pirates are a very good team. And even if they are a decent team, they're so damn beat up that they are a mess right now in Pittsburgh, so it wouldn't appear to be likely to be if the Cardinals can somehow get within shouting distance of the Cubs.
They got to start winning games at home. I mean, that's
so
a
odd.
Weird thing.
So odd. So they are in Seattle for 3
and then four against the Royals, two in St. Louis, two in Kansas City, first in Kansas City. Doug, next question, okay. If you would. Kevin Demoff, he was critical in a very odd I really just don't know what he's doing. Are you guys aware of this story?
Where he said of the food delivery, that one?
Right. Yeah. So he does an interview in which he is speaking of the warm reception the team's received in Southern California and says the staff hasn't had to pay for lunch deliveries since it's moved into their offices, and says it's a departure from the last few years in St. Louis when they couldn't eat the food delivered to their offices.
I think what he meant was he was joking that they were leery of being poisoned.
And according to Joe Curley, who was covering the event for Ventura, he said Demoff was making a food poisoning joke. Who bothers you more, honestly, when you think about it, Kroenke or Demoff?
Kroenke bothers me more because it was his decision. Demoff is just saying whatever he has to say to keep his job. I don't think he had anything to do with it.
Demoff is trolling.
I don't get it. And see, the thing is, I understand. I agree with what your reasoning is, which is that, you know, Kroenke did it. I'm just, you know, I don't know what the right word for it would be. Disappointed.
This isn't the first time Demoff has
done these things. And I just don't get, like, I get throughout the whole course of the thing, I got why Stan Kroenke didn't talk. I didn't like it. But I understood it. I didn't like it, but if I'm intent, that's what Strauss would always say. He goes, what is he going to say? And Demoff would tell me that too, which of course now you go, well, what was he saying that was true? But he's not going to make public comments if the intent isn't to stay. So why would he say anything? Because I would say to Kevin in private conversations, and he would echo these on the air, so I'm not saying anything out of school, but I would say, if you guys just make a statement, a press release, that we want to get something done, we're open to getting something done even, but it takes two parties to tangle. Because the whole thing was, when I talked to him, he said, listen, nobody's doing anything in St. Louis. That's the whole issue. Now I look back and I go, was that the truth? Was that not the truth? I have no clue. I mean, I realize, don't get me wrong, everybody's like, of course it was the truth. But remember, the whole thing with Peacock didn't start until, you know, a few minutes left in the fourth quarter of this whole thing. But I don't get what Kevin was doing with his statements, whether it be on our show, the interview that got a lot of attention when it was on with me and Edmonds and TJ Moe, the stuff he said on 101. I don't get what that was about. I get what Kroenke was doing. Do I like it as a St. Louisan? No, but I understand. I don't know what Kevin was doing. And like liking or favoriting on Twitter when Patrick Kane scored the game winner against the Blues in game it was, 5, if I'm not mistaken, in overtime in St. Louis, you know, and then I don't know what that's about. I don't get that.
It's about a guy. See, I had no problem with him being the mouthpiece for a guy who's not talking. It's his job. I understand that. But it's insensitivity. You know what? You made a lot of money, you know, as an organization in St. Louis. How about a little sensitivity? You left. St. Louis wanted you to stay. You left. Couldn't get it done. How about leaving St. Louis alone now? You don't have to go back. And it's like insensitivity on his part.
It's like he's from Los Angeles. I'm sure he's absolutely thrilled to be bringing the franchise back to the town where he grew up watching it and thinking that that's its rightful home anyway. And so now he's doing a touchdown dance.
I don't know. I don't understand it. I mean, I have to tell you, I legitimately am confused by that. And by the way, I want to say this, and it certainly is relevant, and I contacted the attorney last night who's handling it, and I didn't hear back, but that lawsuit is progressing. And I realize, and listen, I completely understand any listener saying, oh, well, nothing's going to ever come of that. I don't blame them. I have no idea. What legal background do I have? But I know the gentleman who is pursuing it. And I'm just telling you, this isn't like a publicity site. I mean, most people probably don't even know his name, and I'm not even sure he wants his name out there. He's been on the show to talk about it, so just out of respect for it, I'm not going to say it. So the audience knows it's not, hey, he wants to get his name out there. Trust me, he doesn't need to get his name out there. He's doing just fine. But I asked him, I said, where is everything? And as a matter of fact, we were having a meeting, God, I guess about a month ago, and he's like, yeah, I got to get out of here soon because I got to make another filing for this. The Rams continue to try and get it dismissed. They've hired one of, if not the biggest law firm in the world for their defense, and it's not getting dismissed. So it is progressing. And I don't know what would wind up happening as far as the class action goes, But I do know that the opportunity for him to depose them would be quite lovely. So that is something, just as a fun fact for Know and Tell, I wanted to make sure I updated our audience.
If nothing else, it would make us feel good if the Rams had to cough up $100 million or something.
Or be honest, because they're under oath for a deposition.
Mm-hmm. Well, just being honest isn't enough, because I think we all know what the truth is.
But
that
goes back to, okay, I understand why Kroenke didn't say anything if he knew what his motives, but why was Kevin saying that stuff? You know, I don't get that. I really don't get that. It's just it was unnecessary. I don't know. Whatever. I mean, who knows? I don't know if I'll ever talk to him again. I'd obviously like to ask that question. But, you know, who knows? Anyway, you know, Doug, what a week it's been on the show. God, you kind of look back on it and go, yeah, you know what? There it was.
Look back on it. I try to forget. When the show's over, I try to put it in.
You're
going
to get to relive it now, courtesy of the good people at Bertarelli Cutlery. Cuts of the Week.
Cut of the Week is brought to you by Bertarelli Cutlery. Visit them on the Hill, online at BertarelliCutlery.com, or follow them on Facebook or Twitter at STL9. Cut one.
Put the lever plows in.
You Morning After fan page.
All the haters, and to all of our fans, we love you from the Timber Fans.
You Tony Doe Dow.
All right, I need a translation. What did she say at the end?
It was worth it.
Cut two.
Janie the Lesbian was texting me yesterday. She said in her office they were discussing tribbing, but with women who don't have legs.
Who was discussing that?
Hold on.
How often does that come up?
She said, I've conferred with Josh, the should-be TMA listener of my office, and Kelly, the new gal. Both agree with my analysis, but Josh and I feel we need a new term. Perhaps a mashing connotation or something like sans shears.
Oh, cut three.
Guys, the sea monster kind of sounds like a young Bruce Weber. Love the show. It's from Woods. Do you hear a young Bruce Weber in the voice of the sea monster?
Oh, I like the way our pigs are playing. I think if we can hit some three-pointers, we got a chance to beat Michigan State.
And that's your impression of the sea monster?
And that's Bruce Weber.
That's pretty good.
Cut four.
We'll have to bring on a Friday. He wants to see your feet, Tony.
Ew. He's a creep. Tell him to go away.
It's a mild fetish on his part.
It was so mild that we almost don't mention it.
The minute we heard her voice, I got a text. I looked down. It's Jay. Can we see the feet, please?
No, like, tell him to go away. He will never see them.
Wow.
You're sensitive about your feet?
No, feet are not my thing. Like, even if you have really cute feet, and a guy that likes feet is just a straight creeper.
Cut five.
Let's guess fastball just one time. Here's your reward. I'd waive that dollar bill as incentive. And I wanted my son to pull the ball at one time during his career. He started when he was four. He's still playing today at 20. I don't think I've ever one time seen him really get out in front and pull the ball with authority. Just once. Here's your reward. It has not worked.
Cut six.
It'll wake you up if you think you're sitting down on the toilet. Instead, you get to the bidet. You know, you're bleary-eyed in the middle of the night.
Is the water real warm?
No. It's ran in from the line, the water line, so it's just toilet water.
Hot.
It's spraying your butt.
Doug, does it feel the same as a curious tongue?
A little more aggressive.
Doug, what about when I put water into my mouth and I spray it up into your butt?
Put him down! Put him down!
Cut seven.
Oh, like, I got a picture of a chicken and a guy.
Be careful what you say.
I'm not going to say it.
Yeah, the bestiality thing, I think, is frowned upon by the FCC, but
no,
I got to check.
No, I thought it was.
It shouldn't be, though.
But I got it.
Thank you, Charlie.
But I got it
good
sent
for
to
you.
Me. You know what I mean? Like, just weird stuff.
A chicken.
Yeah.
And you think that's weird?
Well, it was like a Thanksgiving chicken, you know, like
Thanksgiving turkey. Those
Cut
are
that
turkeys.
Off, and we'll be playing it in 2040.
The old Thanksgiving chicken.
Doug, Thanksgiving chicken has now just been tweeted out to our listeners to celebrate the Thanksgiving chicken. You ever get together with the family on Thanksgiving and grill yourself some chicken?
No. It wouldn't be the worst thing in the world, but usually we go turkey.
But most people chicken?
I don't think so.
Depends where you are. A lot of people in Nebraska, chicken for Thanksgiving. Parts of Idaho.
A Thanksgiving chicken, it doesn't sound horrible the more I mull it over.
Why don't we get together and do that this Thanksgiving?
Okay, probably save a little bit of money. The chicken's cheaper than turkey.
That's Tony Timberfake.
Smaller bird.
It's good to know.
Delight.
Good, delight. It's good to catch up. I was away, so I missed a lot of the...
Oh, there's so much good stuff going on. We have talk of Adam's getting a bidet, I guess. So he can't afford to get rid of the ants, but he can get a bidet.
Right, yeah, that makes no sense.
You think there are a lot of bidets in Wentzville?
None. Probably none. Probably not one. Probably not a single bidet.
I don't understand that whole bidet thing. Why? Who does that?
Euros, right?
Yeah, European.
And women like it. As a cleansing mechanism. You really don't understand it? Really?
I don't.
You really don't understand it?
No, I mean, I understand how it's used.
Then you understand it.
I'm still a little curious why it's so part of one culture, and over here we just... We're careful wiping.
Europeans are more pro ass play, although I feel Americans are getting on board.
I don't think it has anything to do with that.
Here's what I think: Europeans shower less, so they have to make sure they really take care of cleaning after certain operations. Where in this country, there's a shower on the corner pretty much at any time during the day, where in Europe, you might go a few days.
Maybe that's it.
Especially in Parlez-vous Français. Anna Marie's trolling me. She just forwarded me an email from Condé Nast Traveler saying flying is harder for shorter people. And then it's some article.
Huh. I would have thought the opposite on that.
Yeah, exactly.
More leg room when you got little tiny feet.
Yeah, tiny legs. I can't even reach. When I'm sitting in the chair, I can't even reach.
Your legs are dangling.
I kick my leg. Yeah. I kick my legs back and forth. Look at me. I'm exercised. Look.
Can you put your pincers forward and at least pull down the tray?
No, I went to private school.
I just thought of this. This happened to me on my flight back. Nothing enrages me on a flight. I can handle anything. But when people don't follow the exiting protocol and someone just cuts
I agree with you.
And you
I
think,
really do. I agree with you.
We're not a civilization anymore.
I agree with you. I couldn't agree with you more. And then you take a step back and you go, it's not worth getting upset about, but I agree with you.
And it's like, you just saved 5 feet? You cut in front of someone just so you could be 5 feet ahead?
I couldn't agree with you more. I'd like to interview those people. Know what they're thinking.
I don't know why that riles me up, but
it
I think
bothers
it's because
me too.
It threatens the fabric of civilization.
Anna Marie mumbles, Anna Rush. But she doesn't get upset about it. And you know what happens? I get my Irish up.
Do you?
I say out
you
loud.
You take them on in a fist fight?
No.
Fist fight out in the quarter?
I just bitch about it.
Oh. I was
social media.
Guess you really had to get going, that extra 5 feet. And then the crowd behind you will murmur approval of what you said.
Oh, well, look at you.
Hmm. And then how do they respond to that?
They usually are just... They just go and don't look back. They don't care about others. That's to me. You can eat a burrito mid-flight. You want a sky pig? Oh, that's fine. You cut in front of me getting off the plane.
You think
that's going to get me?
You think it's maybe somebody with a connecting flight and they're nervous? I'm not going to make it. I got to get out just as soon as I can.
No, I don't. I just think it's someone that saw an opportunity to get over on someone else without a penalty.
Have you ever been in that situation, though, where you're near the back of the plane, you got a connecting flight, and you got this
you know,
is going to be
do,
close?
You tell the appropriate authorities, you tell the stewardess or the flight attendant, and you say, hey, can I get out? And they'll usually help you. They'll say, can you just wait a second? People with connecting flights go, because they know when someone's going to miss a connecting flight.
Mm-hmm.
Just rogue behavior. Sorry. Feel better.
Those are the same people that will walk in front of you in a crosswalk when you have the right to turn right and they're walking or something and they won't even look. You know, it's their right, but you would think that you would at least look, or they don't hustle at all. Someone's walking in front of you and they don't hustle. They just take their sweet time walking. Give it a little bit of an effort. I'd like to see you act like you're walking faster or maybe wave, thanks for stopping for me. Don't just put your head down and walk slowly in front of the cars. Even if they have... You know, the right of way to go. At least you ought to look like you're trying to hustle a little bit.
We're better human beings than those people are.
Maybe. Nice. I feel good about myself now by attacking these people.
I do too.
It's time for the email of the day. We're giving away these two tickets to St. Louis FC tomorrow night. Worldwide Technology Soccer Park taking on the Portland Timbers. Doug, this isn't Portland Timbers 1, it's Portland Timbers 2.
2. Yep. Point 2.
Hey, guys, I just wanted to forward you an email my father got from Doug yesterday. Hi, Mr. Wright City Lemming, sir. I'm Doug Vaughn, Emmy-winning sportscaster and a sexy radio star. I'm requesting you listen to some Communards, and if you hear any lyrics that seem intriguing, could you please respond post-haste? Hint, it's the lyrics about me making love to your son. Forget it, skip the song, and both of you come over for the most popular MMM. Just look for the drop-top LeBaron under the carport. See you, boys. That's from the Wright City Lemon.
Wright City Lemming.
Plow Shark, did you rank these, or are these just kind of put together? Because I'm not concerned only, if that was...
I don't like to put the heaviest hitter on top. I like it short, sweet, kind of ease into the heavy hitters that are beneath you.
Good, so kind of like a batting order.
Yeah. Good, so Colton Wong's up at the top right now.
Right. Hey, boys. Some rules for having kids. This is from Stephen Wildwood. He doesn't seem to really be on board with marriage and children, but I don't know.
All right.
Number one, any effing moron can have kids. Brittany and Kevin have two. Don't act like the pregnancy and birth are some amazing experience. You were able to put your this and her that. Congratulations. Number two, do not go in the delivery room unless it is a C-section. Your baby's head comes out of the idea. Number three, no couple showers. The broads go to the shower while the guys go golf or to a bar. Number four, you could not make the varsity team in high school and barely got a 3.0 at Mizzou. Your kid is not smarter than any other moron who has a kid, and he is not going to be a professional athlete. Number five, get a babysitter. You two idiots can take care of the kid without killing him or her. Anybody short of Jerry Sandusky will have no problem watching the kid while you go out to eat. Don't bring the kid to dinner unless it's Chuck E. Cheese. By the way, they stopped serving beer at Chuck E. Cheese. You need to bring a flask. There are more, but I want to keep it simple. Thanks in advance. Doug, that's Steve in Wildwood with parenting tips.
Steve in Wildwood.
Bastards, woot woot, because it's Friday. My regards to all at the Wiffle Ball Tournament tomorrow. I'm sure the lovely folks on the fan page will be sad when I won't be there. Anywho, Mr. Dougie Boo, let's role play. You be the swimmer, and I'll be the water. You can dive in me and get all wet, stroking, flapping.
Okay, paddle. That's enough.
So coy, so bold. Simo Lum.
Simo Lum has been suspended. He's been suspended a period of 2 days' time, and his name, even as we speak, is going into the Llewellyn's Pub suspension log. You will...
TMA, the day before the Climax edition. Let's get ready to whiffle. Batting leadoff for Cucky and the Stepdads, pitching and sometimes catching is Luke. He's the sexy drummer from the Communards. Cheer. Playing center with buttery soft hands and eyes like the Eagle Bird. Zach. Oh, bang your dad. Squirtins. Zach Squirtins, hooray. Batting third and starting at the hot corner. He's got great hair on his head, but none on his tip. Mikey Wiffleball. Ah.
Ah.
And last but not least, the cutest guy on the team. He pitches. He catches. He's a giver. And he'll also take it real nice like the supreme king of the Dutch rudder, my stepdad, Harold. Come one, come all. Can't wait to ship the Wentzville Jackwagons the first round after blowing trees in the Lumina with the Plow Mariner. See you Satter's bin. Cucky, the boy of House Wiffle.
Cucky, the boy of House Wiffle. Hey, Tim, I see they've updated your picture on STL Today with the hat you're wearing even as we speak.
Really?
They've updated it since we talked about it.
Well, we get things done here then. Okay, if you're listening, can you please take out the part about my salary?
that's the main part.
Yeah, that's the
that's
headline.
The story.
Sup, Cardinals rested, Seattle sleepless, timber fake hungover, Paul hot wife, dotum unfree, wiffle ball moving, hot dog steaming, mustard smothers, Tim best, cat back, Doug make my ass sexy, horny just me, peace to you, there's mine, and Jay Buhner, get it, got it, flock it, Flocky the Smurf.
Jay Buhner.
Nice, yeah. Mariners reference.
Flocky the Smurf.
Well, boys, I'm pretty upset I can't make the event tomorrow. But there's higher stakes, whiffy, whiffy, turn, out Trenton way. For all those going, I just want to give you two pieces of advice. Number one, someone is going to take this too seriously. At the co-ed kickball tournament for charity, there was a close call, and the volunteer umpire was berated to the point where he finally threw down his clipboard and said, I'm not getting paid for this crap, and walked off into the sunset. I actually witnessed that. I witnessed that.
I like that.
That
That's
actually happened. Number two, there are going to be two unisex porta-potties available. Plan accordingly. Last year, it appeared I was on the same whiz cycle as a particularly odd character because every time I went to go, he would purposely leave the door unlocked and would be holding up his shirt with his pants around his ankles like a first grader. Mm. Knowing your listeners, he may have just been camped out in there all day. Luckily, it was pouring rain, so toward the end, I just wet me britches, and people were none the wiser. Don't scoff, Doug. We had a conversation while I was doing it. You had a conversation with Matt who pulls the hangs while I was weeing himself?
I don't know. I don't remember that.
Also, how many effing grandmas are dying out there to where so many people are backing out last minute? Good luck out there, boys. Matt, who bowls at Hanks.
Matt, who bowls at Hanks.
Morning, fellas. Well, it's been a while since I've retreated to me den to pen a note to you fine gentlemen. Hope you've been well. Whilst listening this morning, I heard the sumptuous... What does that mean? Sumptuous?
Sumptuous.
What does that mean?
Delectable.
Really?
Nice, yeah.
Tim McKernan Wonderful. Said TMA a few times, and I noticed if you said TMA fast enough, it sounds like you're saying Tim-A. TMA. TMA.
Too much thought into what Tim says. Lemming.
Excessive lemming behavior. TMA sounds like Timmy. We love Timmy.
Certainly the show wasn't named the morning after for this reason, but just one of those mysteries of the universe that makes the world a much better place. Mm-hmm. You truly are the greatest, good sir.
Okay.
Doug, pawn my boy chamber while I pawn your man fisher. Love and snuggles. That's the cousin of the Moo Man.
Cousin of the Moo Man.
Yeah, what up? Well, once it has been confirmed that Doug has no integrity, he claims to be a champion of personal responsibility and hard work, but when given the chance of who to support between a young man with a steady job, emotional stability, and many happy relationships, or an unemployed loser who puts all his money into illegal things and kidnaps his girlfriends, he chooses the homophobic drain on society with no job. That's the difference between you and me, you menopausal old bitch.
Yeah.
I base my decisions on principle even when it's inconvenient or unpleasant. Either dementia is setting in or you're a gosh damn hypocrite. Do good, avoid evil, the Barnhart brawler.
You notice how he called someone who's unemployed a loser? That doesn't usually figure in with his political leanings.
He was Johnny Cochran,
yeah.
Sir.
He called unemployed people losers. Imagine that from a Democrat. Barnhart brawler.
Oh, and tell Big Al I'll fight him in Building 33 Cafe anytime he'd like. Oh, this brawler's going to be fighting everybody.
Sounds like it. Barnhart, brawler. Brawler.
Boy, the white collar gangster sending in long emails. This is the problem. People want their emails read, and I understand it, but if you send them in, they're too long. I can't. I'm just going through them here.
You got to shorten them, folks.
You
Come
got
on,
to.
Guy.
I want to read the one from Girl with an Odor. I can't. Rico Suave. Was that Gerardo? 91? 92?
Great song.
He was also in New Jack City, I think. Or was he in Colors? He was in Colors. 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 Colors.
Robert Duvall. Fine act.
I want to. Oh, that's it.
You're not finding the email.
I wanted to get one quick one in to finish, you know, kind of like Letterman with the top 10. It wasn't the funniest one, but it would be quick, and then you just go into the music. And
right. I don't think it was a great batch, Tim. I was going to go SEMO alum because he did use the word flapping, and I found that appealing. But I think I have to go with Cucky, the boy of House Wiffle.
I'm going to go with a fellow by the name of Wildwood, Steve in Wildwood, for his childhood tips.
I felt like it was top heavy, like the National League, and I'm bottom heavy. But I'm going to go with Cucky, the boy of House Whiffle. The boy of House Whiffle has shipped the email of the day, and he's going to St. Louis FC versus the Portland Timbers 2 on Saturday tomorrow night at Worldwide Technology Soccer. We hope to see you all, even if you're not playing tomorrow, at the Bud Light presentation of the Inside STL 3rd Annual Wiffle Ball Tournament. We are looking forward to it. It will be a fun day, and Doug, Charlie, and my brother Danny will be hosting the hardware tomorrow and then celebrating with beers in a garage. Keeping it
garage,
real.
Garage,
thank you.
Garage.
Even a garage does sound more appropriate. Frank is up next. He's walking in right now for the Lion's Choice Famous Roast Beef handoff to the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Lion's Choice Famous Roast Beef. Soppin's, BXN's. Frank Cusimano next. Hollywood Casino Press Box. For Peyton. For the Plow Shark. For our intern Dan. For my brother Kevin. For the Sea Monster. For Jimmy the Cat Hayes. And for Douglas Sullivan. I'm Tim McCurtain. This has been the Ryan Kelly Morning After on CBS Sports 105.7 HD2 FM 920 AM and Inside STL.com live from the Gateway. Buick GMC2.